Welcome, tech fans, to another episode of TWAT. I'm Matt Jimmy Simi.
I'm Froy.
And we're your hosts for the day. And we're going to be talking some tech tips in the world of home-based recording studios. Now, when it comes to home studios, you have two very extreme ends of a very long spectrum. On one end, you have the guy in his bedroom with his laptop and shitty mic doing podcasts, which is cool. Then on the other end, you've got the guy who's dropped like 200 grand on building a full-on professional-type setup and runs it from home so he doesn't have to pay rent.
Right, but he usually comes up with a really cheesy name for it, like Professional One Recording Studios, where we make you sound like a superstar.
No offense to Professional One Recording Studios.
Oh, right. There's probably 20 of them anyway, and now they're all pissed at us.
Well, for our segment, we'll be talking about setups that are kind of in the middle. We're going to be a bit more hardcore than the bedroom guy, but not quite the level of the rich bastard.
Professional One.
Yes.
Or even Professional Two, for that matter.
They're worse. But for today's episode, I thought it might be a good idea to talk about some of the fundamental building blocks of a serious PC-based home studio.
Right, PC-based.
Yes, I'm sure that some of you might be wondering why we're not going to build on a Mac-based system, since Macs are so widely used, especially in professional studios. But that's because, well,
they are incredibly expensive.
Yeah, and we're not Mac guys.
Right, we're PC guys.
And Macs being expensive just really takes away from the fact that we can put more money to other pieces of audio gear, which actually might help us sound better, whereas Macs, I think it's debatable whether a Mac will actually make your stuff sound better.
Right. Now, there is something to be said about a lot of the cool software out for Macs, like Motu and
stuff.
Well, yeah, and a lot of software that comes for Windows-based DAWs is also available for Mac as well, because Mac is so ingrained in the audio recording realm. But
not all, though.
Not all. What wouldn't?
Not Cubase, I think.
Ooh.
Yes, and we use Cubase.
Yes, we do.
But we'll get into that. Anyway, using a Mac doesn't really mean that you can put out great recordings, because that has more to do with you than it does your platform.
Right, and what would Helen Keller have to say about that?
Well, if you put Helen Keller in a cockpit of an F-15, it won't matter that it's a badass fighter jet. She'll probably crash and fuck it all up.
Right.
So let's get started. Now, myself, I'm a Linux guy. I'm a convert. But our studio does run on Windows.
Ooh.
Yeah. Well, really, that's fine, because you can build a very impressive, stable, and powerful audio workstation running Windows XP, and then spend your studio time tinkering with your mixes rather than your operating system.
Right. I mean, we did.
Yeah. So how do we build a good Windows-based recording workstation?
Well, I think it would all begin with an excellent PC.
Yes, let's talk hardware.
Okay.
Now, my biggest thing is you don't need to get the biggest and greatest hardware, but the most bleeding edge stuff that's out.
Right, and there's a good reason for that.
For one, in fact, based on personal experience, if you try and get the most bleeding edge hardware, you can run into compatibility issues with your software if the software developers have not yet had time to catch up.
Right, because a lot of this is widely untested.
Yes.
Because someone who's writing a brand new software packet for the latest and greatest Windows operating system may not have thought about its compatibility issues with Cubase SE or whatever other software you're going to try to use.
Well, in our system, we have a Pentium 4, and it's about maybe 3 years old.
Right.
And hyperthreading processors came out at about the same time. But lucky for me, I read about a big problem with hyperthreading processors and Cubase.
Lucky for you.
So I decided to get just a regular old Pentium 4, which has a slower bus speed and not all the bells and whistles, but...
But we do record at 64 kilohertz at
24-bit.
And we don't... Eight channels simultaneous.
No problems.
The sound is awesome.
Yep. So you don't need the latest and greatest Pentium Extreme Hardcore Erection Processor. I do suggest that if you're getting a new PC, that you configure your system to have a decent processor. Also, lots of fucking RAM and a decent video card.
Or you could just get regular RAM.
Well, fucking RAM is so much faster. You'll also want, you know, the requisite optical drives like a CD burner and a DVD burner.
DVD burner, very critical when you're dealing with audio files that can... Well, when you have eight tracks, sometimes we have projects with, you know, anywhere 20? From, 20, 24 tracks all written at 24-bit.
64 kilohertz,
which can be...
Boku.
Right, and... Hey, let's face it, you know, you want like 4 or 5 CDRs or a couple of DVDs. And a lot of people get Glyph drives or backup hard disk systems, which are equally awesome. We use a DVD burner.
Because we're broke right now.
Broke.
Anyway, DVDs, if you can only swing one, I definitely suggest a DVD burner. Now, what other hardware? FireWire cards. We do not use FireWire, but there's nothing wrong with it. In fact, a lot of audio hardware devices support FireWire because it's fast and it's cool. For us, our audio input-output device runs on through our PCI slot, which is just fine as well. Usually, PCI devices will cost a little more than their FireWire counterparts, but that's pretty much personal preference. Anyway, FireWire, PCI, USB. USB audio devices we don't use a lot of either. I've read some bad things about running some critical audio devices through USB, but hey, you know, we do go that route.
We do use the USB slot in the front for our dongle.
Oh, yes.
Which is necessary to run Cubase.
It's retarded. I mean, you know, good for them, whatever. We won't get into copy protection for Cubase, because I could do a whole show on that.
Sore spot.
Yeah. Especially when you lose the product key.
Ooh, yeah, because we had a gigantic junk pile outside of our studio, which is an incredibly important part of anybody's DAW.
Oh, yes, you gotta have the junk.
Right.
All right, well, getting back to our workstation, like I said, it's got a Pentium 4 pre-hyper threading, just a basic, decent processor. We've got 1 gig of RAM, which helps a lot. And I believe we have a 128 megabyte video card. Now, you don't need the latest and greatest video card because you're not going to be playing with Photoshop or playing Halo or Grand Theft Auto. You're going to be working with audio. But you do need something that can handle the load of redrawing the waveforms on the screen and not rely on your CPU to have to do it for it.
Right, because we did run into some problems where we were trying to run 2 monitors simultaneously and got real fancy and actually ended up with glitches in our audio. And it's important to remember that a PC is very sensitive when dealing with very high quality audio files.
Yes, in fact, I'll get into that. If you're going to run 2 monitors, I highly recommend getting a dual head video card, because we decided to use 2 monitors after the fact and added a PCI video card, which resulted in a big performance hit and weird glitches. Now, maybe we're just fucked up because I didn't really feel like researching what was going on. We just took the video card out.
That worked beautifully.
But I do run a dual head card at work. I run 2 monitors and it's beautiful. So if you do want to do 2 monitors, I do suggest a dual head AGP card.
Or at the very least, do your research.
Yes.
Someone has figured this out somewhere. It's not us.
Yep.
Moving on.
Okay, we did RAM, we did video cards, blah, blah, blah. Now, we haven't mentioned sound cards, and that's because...
our computer does not have an internal sound card.
Yeah, sort of. Basically, if you're going to be serious about audio, you want to stay away from anything you're going to buy at Walmart or Best Buy, or that probably will ship with your system. And especially stay away from integrated or onboard sound. Bad. Also, same with graphics cards. Do not get onboard graphics cards with shared memory, because that's just hogging your RAM. And the whole purpose of getting a good graphics card, like I said, is to take away some of the work from your other resources.
Right. Keep in mind, when you're talking about audio with a DAW, that is the focus of the digital audio workstation, and chances are you're going to use your conversion device to do all of that work for you.
Yep.
And our conversion device is?
An Echo Layla 24. It's like a big glorified sound card, and like I said, it runs through our a PCI slot. We have a PCI card and a very long, almost looks like a serial cable that runs out to an external outboard piece of audio gear. and this outboard piece of audio gear has 8 analog inputs, 8 analog outputs, also supports, I think, SPDIF, and also supports 8-channel optical digital audio.
So, which we don't use.
No, we ran into some issues with, word clocks.
Right.
Anyway, we basically use our 8 analog inputs and outputs, so essentially we have an 8-channel studio, meaning we can run 8 channels into our DAW and record these 8 channels simultaneously.
And it works beautifully.
Yes. Now, given this was not a cheap piece of equipment.
The Layla.
Yes. Count on spending anywhere from $500 and up on a really decent multi-track input-output device.
Right. You've got some common manufacturers such as our beloved Echo.
Aardvark.
Aardvark. DigiDesign.
PreSonus, I think.
Yes. And if you really want to spend a lot of money,
ooh.
Well, some of the Motu converters are pretty expensive. And then you have Apogee.
Oh, very expensive.
Very expensive.
Like $3,000.
Those would better be really good.
We wouldn't know. We don't have that kind of money to drop.
Right. Our Echo works just fine.
Yeah, and I'd vouch for the Echo anytime. Although the new models aren't quite as cool looking.
Right. We have the old one.
Yes, which is a completely almost blank front panel that's like a silverish white sort of metallic front.
And the only front features are a headphone jack and a volume knob for that headphone jack.
Yep, and on the upper left side, it has the word Echo engraved into it. Which
doesn't it have the power knob?
Yeah,
power it has a power switch on it.
It looks very sweet, but the new one has a bunch of knobs and inputs
right.
outputs on the front.
And nobody likes too many knobs. Well...
Anyway, that's what we use for input-output, and if you're going to get serious about recording, I highly suggest getting, even if it doesn't have 8 channels, something that at least has the same kind of quality, because that's what you're looking for in your recordings. And, I mean, you can't cheapen anything in your audio signal, especially if you got, like, God damn it, I'm going off on a tirade, and I don't know where I'm going. Anyway.
Maybe we should figure out how to close it up.
All right. Let's move on to maybe getting some cheaper devices. Like, what are we at?
12 minutes.
Okay, we can edit some stuff out. We're doing pretty good.
We're doing real good. So we were talking about the Echo.
Yes. But if you can't swing an input-output device like that, you can get something that has fewer channels of input-output, but also retains the high quality.
Right, and the maximum quality that our Echo Layla will run at is 24 bits at 96 kilohertz.
Yeah, which nowadays isn't the top of the line, but still.
Not even close. But we have noticed a very significant increase in audio integrity at our typical recording quality, which is usually, for us, 24-bit at 64 kilohertz.
Yep. Now... Ooh. You know what I think, though? If you do get a device with less inputs of the same high quality, and you find yourself in a situation where you have to record a band, you've got a lot of channels that you want to run into your workstation, but you can only support 4 independently, you might find yourself buying a mixer. And, you know, if you have a high-quality input-output device, you don't want to get a shitty mixer.
Right.
So you end up buying a good mixer. And what?
And now you've just spent as much money on your mixer and your input-output device as you would have on the 8-channel to begin with.
Exactly.
Or perhaps even more.
So, I mean...
Oops.
Don't worry if you can't afford an 8-channel device, but if there's any way that you can pull it off and work it into your budget, you'll definitely be happy that you did.
There is one thing to keep in mind when you're purchasing equipment for your DAW. It may look like a good buy at the time, but if you can see yourself outgrowing whatever equipment you're buying in the near future, it may be a better idea to simply save up and buy what you originally wanted in the first place.
Oh, yeah. If you talk to anybody that's really seriously into hardcore audio... That's one thing that everybody has in common. You outgrow your gear.
Right. So, it's important to get a high-quality PC and at least a decent quality converter.
A high-quality converter?
A high-quality converter.
Yeah.
Like our converter.
Yes. You want to get that good stuff. So anyway, that covers most of the hardware immediate to the workstation. Things like mics and preamps can take up a whole show on their own. So, we'll stay away from that for now. So let's quickly get into software. Now, there's an enormous selection of high-end recording and sequencing software for Windows, and a company like Steinberg makes Nuendo, which can do all kinds of things like sync with video and some crazy shit like that, all the way to very minor and stripped-down versions of Cubase. Us, what do we use?
We use a mid-level Cubase. Cubase...
SL.
SL.
Which is identical to its big brother Cubase SX, except it lacks, what, 5.1 surround?
No, 5.1.
And not quite as many plugins.
Right, the plugin suite is significantly smaller.
But it does what we need it to do and more. So it was an obvious choice since it saved over $300 as opposed to buying Cubase SX.
Right, the idea at the time was that we wanted to get decent quality audio recordings. We didn't want to mix down the latest Dolby Digital. We're not making Super Audio CDs or DVDs.
Exactly. And some other popular choices for software, for especially for home-based recording studios, would be like Sonar from Cakewalk. Adobe Audition, which was formerly Cool Edit Pro.
Right.
For those of you who don't like to spend money on software, I don't, but hey. Audacity is a free open source, I believe it's an open source application, that works really well for something that doesn't cost any money. I use it at work, actually, to play with voiceovers and whatnot. And it's a free download. Just do a Google search for Audacity, and it should be easy to find. Another application that I've run into, actually, through work is by a company called Magix, M-A-G-I-X, and they make something called Magix Music Studio. And it's a multi-track sequencing application, recording application, but, you know, it looks good, but some of the things like effects and edits aren't quite as smooth and polished as some of the more expensive software suites. So,
but it's still better than Windows Media Wave Recorder.
Oh my god. Anyway, if you're in a pinch, you know, Magix will do you just fine. I think it's like $30 to $60 or something like that. Now, what other software should you run on this workstation?
Well, chances are your converter is going to come with some sort of software driver.
That's right, and the Echo Layla 24 comes with a software mixer called the Layla 24 Console. And
it Go figure.
Yeah, it just looks like a mixing board and allows you to control monitor levels, allows you to do some complex grouping with your channels, and play with settings with your digital inputs and outputs.
We mostly use it for monitoring, and it allows you to adjust the monitor level and adjust the stereo image.
Yeah, and the gain level. I mean, the plus 4, minus 10.
Yes, you can switch the input stage gain.
Other than that, though, you really shouldn't be running anything on this workstation.
Right.
Maybe something like CD burning software, cataloging software, maybe if you've got some sampling or looping applications, but... other than that...
Bad idea to hook your DAW up to the internet.
Oh, yes, and we'll get to that because... well, actually, if you get like a PC configured from Dell, the first thing that I wanted to do was get rid of all the bullshit pre-configured software.
Oi.
You know, like Family Photo Album.
Oi.
For butt munchers.
Right.
Anyway, that's your first order of business. In fact, it might be a good idea to do just a complete reinstall of Windows so you get something nice and clean and uncluttered. So, like Froy was saying, no...
Internet.
Yeah, that might be a little hardcore, but like I said, we're going hardcore here.
Well, hey, you're setting up a digital audio workstation, and a lot of people might want to do everything on one PC, and you don't want a whole bunch of PCs, so maybe this concept isn't exactly for you, but we're going from a mainline idea that we're going to have a computer that's dedicated for sound recording... And if that's your intention...
Poop.
They'll poop on that.
All right.
We can cut that out.
Yeah, so where were we? We were talking about internet, I think. Yeah, I mean, there are security risks and things like that. And, I mean, there's definitely ways to secure Windows. In fact, you know, my wife's computer is running Windows, and it's just fine. But the thing about that is the software and... things involved in making sure your Windows system is secure just add that much more for the operating system to do. And me personally, I like everything to be very stripped down on our audio workstation. Secondly, I mean, take this situation. you're recording with a buddy, you go out to take a piss, and while you're doing that, he decides to go porn surfing on your computer.
Somebody.
Yeah, I mean, you just have a lot of other things to worry about, temporary internet files,
hey,
things
Peter,
like that.
Check out Channel 9, man.
Yeah, so just leave it a standalone box. If you're anywhere near being serious about having a good audio workstation and your project work.
Right.
Anyway, second thing is to disable all the unnecessary services that are running in the Windows background. Some examples of these are the Messenger service, Wireless Zero Config, and DHCP client, which is not necessary because you won't be networked. Right? Right. Anyway, you can do a Google search on what kind of services Windows runs in the background and what will not be necessary for your particular situation, and then you just kill those forever. And third, a couple of quick tweaks. We're going to get rid of all our eye candy, and we're going to adjust processor scheduling. And when I say get rid of eye candy, I mean we're going to get rid of the Fisher-Price interface that comes with Windows XP and some of the other goofy stuff like menu animations. And the easiest way to do this is go to your Start menu, right-click on My Computer, then click on Properties in the context menu that pops up. Then your System Properties window appears. Click on the Advanced tab, and under the Advanced tab, you should see a section that says Performance. Click on the Settings button under Performance, and then you should see your Performance Settings window. On this first tab that says Visual Effects, click on the button that says Adjust for Best Performance. This will strip down your Windows user interface to look, resemble Windows 98, Windows 2000. And it's ugly, but hey, that big blue gaudy thing's ugly too.
I mean, are you really concerned about what your Windows operating system looks like?
No.
I mean, we're trying to make beautiful recordings here, right?
Beautiful music.
Right.
All right. So we got rid of that stuff. Now go to the Advanced tab. And I know this is a very nice tweak for Cubase. Your software may differ, so you want to check the documentation and some of the user forums to make sure that it applies to you. But under processor scheduling, make sure that background services is selected as opposed to programs. And this has a lot to do with the way Cubase handles recording and writing to the hard disk for the most part. You want to give priority to writing data to the hard disk because that's essential.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway, keep clicking on OK until all those windows disappear. Usually in Windows, it's like about 10 times. And that's about it.
Hey, it was great talking to you.
Yeah, thanks, man. Maybe in future episodes, we can go over some specific stuff like mics, preamps, and other cool gear.
Right.
And maybe some tips and tricks.
Right.
Anyway, it's been fun. I'm Mad Jimmy Simi.
And I'm Froy.
And you can send me an email at madjimmysimi@gmail.com. That's MadJimmySimi @gmail.com. Thanks for listening to Twat. Download some more good stuff at twattech.org. Thanks for listening to community-driven free media. See ya.
I'm the governor of California. California. I love to eat puddings. Dar, 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 dar. I wish I was an Oscar Mayer Wiener.